Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's been a debate brewing in this country for a long time, and the most recent happenstance relative to Jimmy Kimmel's show has just caused this debate to hit an all-time high relative to content moderation, content limitation, and the like. There are examples that are replete through probably 4, 5, 6, 7 year history here for sure. Leading into the pandemic and really getting heightened through the pandemic. What is the obligations? What are the duties of government? And what actually does the First Amendment mean? Here to talk to us about it, Stefan Padfield, Executive Director of the Free Enterprise Project. Stefan, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Thank you, sir. You know, the Biden administration over the has been accused by almost every social media outlet, X, Twitter, YouTube, and others, to say that they were in constant communication with them during the pandemic, trying to engaging in content moderation, content elimination. They didn't even want satire to be out there about the pandemic, and they keep falling back on that they have a duty to protect the public from misinformation. Does that duty exist?
I mean, I think just starting with the word misinformation is a red flag, right? I mean, we should start with, is it true or is it false? Yes, perhaps there is a duty to protect the public in some form against false information. But if you can't even call it false information, if you have to call it quote-unquote misinformation, that seems to me to be already admitting that you're starting to go down the road to trying to eliminate other types of content, and specifically content that you are against on an ideological basis. So I think the argument that there is some government duty to protect the public against misinformation, I mean, we can make those arguments, but to me, it's already just a giant red flag that we're talking about misinformation rather than false information.
And in a lot of cases, the people that they were trying to eliminate their content, these weren't just, you know, non-accredited individuals, right? These were well-established scientists making observations in some cases.
Yeah, it's really a powerful example of how, you know, for example, I'll use the analogy to the climate science debate, right? Basically, first, we just get rid of all the opposing voices, right? All those researchers and individuals who aren't marching lockstep with the ideological consistent platform. And then once we've gotten rid of them, we say all the scientists agree, right? So it's this phenomena where you have very respected commentators who are coming from a different perspective than what the, you know, approved messaging is by the Biden administration. And they just shut them down regardless of how much factual basis they have or how much credibility or how many followers. It was extremely concerning at the time. It continues to be extremely concerning. And I know you mentioned the Jimmy Kimmel scenario, and I think there are just so many ways in which those two situations can be distinguished. And certainly there are things to talk about in terms of the use of government power in any form to address something like Jimmy Kimmel. But to me, the backdoor censorship leadership that the Biden administration employed versus the very overt and transparent statements made by the Trump administration, very different. And you can see that just in the market response, right? Kimmel was back on air in a matter of days, whereas the Biden, we're only now getting the accounts being reinstated by YouTube. So it's a very different risk that we're talking.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
About.
Well, the interesting thing, too, is that the Biden administration is using as a defense that this was a novel virus. Well, it would seem to me if that's in fact the case, then what that also means is that you don't have well-settled science. So it makes that slope, in my view, even slipperier. Your thoughts?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there is definitely some irony in saying, well, it's a novel virus. We don't really know everything about it, but we definitely know you can't say X, Y, Z, right? We definitely know that what we've settled on amidst all this confusion and novelty is the only thing that can be discussed. So, yeah, I think there's an admission right baked into that attempt to justify their actions that shows that it was a lot of fear, right? And if we're going to have some sympathy for the actions of the Biden administration, certainly there was a lot of fear. And people don't act well at any level when they're rooted in fear. But what we hope is that the principles that we are founded upon, which have been instilled for very good reasons, like free speech and allowing that to inform our decision making, you know, up and down our society, that would have been the go-to rather than having the fear lean us right into this backdoor jawboning censorship. So I think the rationales that we're getting in defense of what went on really only go a very short distance before they fall apart.
Stefan, hindsight's 20/20, but it is a valuable lesson because in the end, what we recognize and realize is that some of what was being articulated by the Biden administration, and this is not a criticism, it turned out to be wrong. And one has to wonder whether or not we would have arrived at that place sooner had we let the discourse continue.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And, you know, something else that's worth mentioning, I think, is that in a time of crisis, in a time of fear, there is an opportunity for really arrogant people to take center stage, right? And so certainly we have heard a lot about Fauci and his beliefs that he is science, right? And this is one of the problems, is that people are scrambling for answers. They're unsure, and somebody steps in the picture and has this air of confidence and the CV to back it up, and all of a sudden we just hand over all decision-making authority, right? It's sort of that line that I will occasionally use about myself, which is, frequently wrong, but rarely in doubt, right? And so we let this person basically become the focal point for the decision making. And because he had this arrogant confidence and couldn't really brook any dissent, that really played into the administration's attempt to shut down any contrary speech. And we really should be going in the other direction, as you say, which is recognizing our shortcomings and having some humility and opening up to different perspectives.
Let us move to Jimmy Kimmel. You say that there are ways that this should be significant, is distinct from the other. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, so I think, first of all, the one I mentioned, just in terms of the way in which the Biden administration was using back channels, whereas the Trump administration with the FCC was very upfront about what it was saying, and it was very public, and that gave the market the opportunity to respond. And so the transparency led to that quote-unquote censorship being very limited, right, to the extent it was impact at all, versus the backdoor channels that we're only finding out the full extent of years later. So much more problematic there. There's also a difference between the tech companies, which are much more private, if not just, let's just say, flat out private, versus networks like ABC that are using the FCC airways, the public airways, and basically contractually agree to have some element of public service, public good in what they do. So they become much more subject to regulation because of that agreement and their desire to use the public airways, right? So I think those are some very critical points. And if we think about what should we be more concerned about, you know, the fact that the FCC very overtly makes a statement that is very defensible in terms of being consistent with its mission and then gets arguably corrected by the market very quickly versus the back channeling with our, you know, private enterprises that leads to a censorship that we don't even hear about until years later, and accounts have been basically blacked out since then. I just think the two, and I'm not trying to diminish the extent we should ask questions about the Kimmel situation and be concerned about the implications. But to compare the two is to say, I think in the end, if you do it honestly, you say what went on with the Biden administration was much, much worse.
Yeah, I'm one that doesn't really particularly care for regulatory authorities to say things not in a formal fashion of like a meeting of the FCC or otherwise, and to throw stuff out, whether it be, you know, on an interview or otherwise. But going back to what you said early on in the interview, is what we're talking about, or is the subject matter about truth? And it was obvious that the statement made by Jimmy Kimmel was anything but the truth, right?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, if you want to start using the word misinformation again, right? So that was just false. But the concerns that we often hear to justify misinformation in terms of, oh, there's going to be all this, you know, these bad dominoes are going to fall and people are going to behave badly and they're going to take, you know, actions that are going to be harmful to our society. I think all of that certainly does apply with Jimmy Kimmel, given his, you know, broad audience and the statements that he was making about the nature and motives of that awful assassination, that tragic assassination. So I think absolutely, if you just apply the standard of truth under the umbrella of, you know, having access to these public airways, at least to some extent, in order to provide some sort of public service, I think the Kimmel situation and what he said just fails that standard.
Yeah. You know, Pete, I've had a lot of folks, I've talked about this many times, and I know you've written about it as well, and the left's reaction is they always focus on what the public benefit is, what they're trying to achieve, like, you know, in the case of the pandemic, of possible misinformation. They talk about some crazy comments that have been made by not only the president, but others relative to swallowing bleach or this, that, or otherwise. What happens when we start putting an asterisk next to the First Amendment? You know, we have some exceptions as to regulated time, place, manner restrictions. Those have been litigated throughout history. But when we start talking about content moderation or the discontinuance of content, we're in a whole different purview, right?
Absolutely. And I think a place where you see this is the terminology creep, right? So as you say, we have limitations that are available for government to argue when it can regulate speech, right? And those are well litigated and well-versed. But now you start getting this creep, and primarily from the left, where it's misinformation, disinformation, hate speech, offensive speech, right? I mean, so you just go on, and that is putting that asterisk by the First Amendment that is making significant inroads into our free speech. And we're seeing this very much with the EU and Europe generally, right? The way that their regulations are very upfront about the fact that they're going to try to very aggressively police speech that falls falls under some of these vague definitions that are completely open to misuse and abuse, right? Under the guise of things like protecting against offense and hate speech and all these sorts of things. So I think that that we need to be very careful. We have our principles. They have stood the test of time. They are deeply embedded in our culture. And so any inroads that are being suggested to limit the scope of the First Amendment, we need to take our time and really think seriously about and really ultimately be ready to defend that First Amendment and our free speech to its full breadth.
You know, had we not had this happenstance relative to the pandemic, I would suspect that we would be experiencing similar things as it relates to the transgender issues that are presented in society today. I think you would see a lot of that going on right now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. I absolutely. And I think that's one of the places where you start to see the unrealistic nature of a lot of leftist agendas and the way that they ultimately bump up against reality. And so it starts with something that people at least superficially think they can get behind, you know, broad concepts like inclusivity, live and let live, right? Consenting adults. But next thing you know, you're being told that you have to speak falsity, right? Like, we're going to use government power to make you call a man a woman under the threat of criminal punishment or fines, right? And you see very quickly the absurdity of it and the impossibility of it. And the question becomes very quickly, not is this going to be successful, because I do think in the long run, the inherent unnatural nature of this of these agendas makes them fail, but it's how much damage they do along the way, right? Especially with our children and the education and the indoctrination around these forced speech, the censorship, right? I mean, what's the thing recently in California I was talking to someone about, where if you actually complain about a male being in a female space, you have to sign off that you have the mental problem, right? It's just very corrupt and insidious, and we need to constantly be pushing back against that and shining the light of truth, which we can only do if we have our rights to free speech fully protected.
And I was having this conversation the other day, and I was trying to put, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, just how nasty this rhetoric would be right now. I mean, I think it would be off the rails because, you know, I mean, healthcare is one thing. Health issues are one thing. But when you start talking about issues like this, it goes to a whole different level. And the word I'm looking for escapes me, but it's so far out there. Who knows where it ends up in the end?
Yeah, I mean, I think we see some of where it ends up. It ends up where you can't even quote from the Bible, right? Because the Bible is deemed to be exclusive. And so in the name of inclusivity, right, to protect the interests of the language they'll use as historically marginalized groups, right? That's the only thing we're focused on. And so we have to shut up anybody who identifies with traditional Christianity or even wants to just read passages from the Bible. We're going to completely censor that and block you and gray out your page on social media, because that would be, harming our agenda of inclusivity. And of course, the Orwellian nature of that is apparent, right? In the name of inclusivity, we're going to exclude all these traditional, statements and beliefs and probably the greatest book written. We're just not going to let you even quote from it because it's going to offend someone.
Yeah. Now, with the Supreme Court failing and really on a procedural matter in the Murthy case about standing, how mucky does this stay? For now, I mean, because in the defense of this, a lot of Democrats are saying, well, the Supreme Court, refused to take this on. Well, no, that's not exactly right. They got out of it on a procedural matter.
Right. I mean, I think the odds that the Supreme Court is going to come out on the right side of these issues in terms of protecting children and acknowledging the truth, the truth of biological sex and the fact that a man can't become a woman simply by saying magic words and that children aren't born in the wrong body. I think all of that, to some extent, the Supreme Court is going to eventually come out on the right side of. And they're doing the right thing on some level by sticking to the procedural rules and coming down on the correct side in terms of standing. And you're right that those results end up getting abused by the headlines to make it seem like there's more support than there is. I do eventually expect them to come out on the right side on those issues. The real question is what they're going to do with the underlying case where the court ruled that discrimination on the basis of transgender status equals sex discrimination, right? Are they going to reverse that case? Are they going to try to strike some sort of balance, which is going to be really difficult? So there's still going to be a lot that needs to get sorted out, and it's difficult to read those tea leaves. But I think certainly the nation as a whole, I mean, I think ultimately this is one of those 80-20 issues. And ultimately the nation as a whole is strongly against the far radicalism that is the ultimate agenda of transgenderism. And so one way or another, whether that be legislatively, whether that be the court, I mean, heck, I think even you could probably get a constitutional amendment through, even as divided as we are, if the issue is framed narrowly enough. So eventually we're going to get this straightened out. It's just a matter of how long we have to wait and how much damage is done along the way.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We'll definitely have you back on as this thing kind of progresses, because I think there's going to be the second inning to this Jimmy Kimmel ball game, because it seems as though there are folks that really want this to perpetuate itself and to keep it going, right?
Yes. Always a place for the agitators to keep pushing. So, and you know, I think we have to just to welcome that, because eventually the truth does shine through when we have these debates.
Yep, for sure. Thank you so much for joining us, Stefan Padfield, Executive Director of the Free Enterprise Project. Have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.